You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
I like the graphic on that, Tom, every time. First of all, how are you, brother?
Things are good, man. Things are moving along steadily. It's a slower news cycle than we imagined this week. It fit very nicely in theory. You got baseball taking the week off for exams, and then portal news would just slide right on in and take center stage. But, you know, portal news ain't happening. Just
We don't know what to do with ourselves as Florida State fans. Like, I'll remove the analysis part of this. Like, there's nothing to analyze. but as far as fans, like, we're sitting over here going, well, damn it, man, because it's been titillating. What Florida State's done in the portal from Jump Street has been awesome. It was like this newfangled thing, and we were the most active participant in the most of the novel, you know, things that entered college football in the last 5 years. Like, we were the ones like, hey, there's a new toy, and we're playing with it the best. We're getting the most out of this thing. It's amazing. And did you know it could do this? Like, it was hilarious to watch everybody else kind of try to figure it out. And they wandered in the darkness and they were screwing it up. And we were just steady whooping ass. And so because that's been what we did, we've grown to just expect that it will always be that way. And now it's not that way. And you're kind of just, son of a gun, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I'd say to make yourselves feel better out there, maybe to make you feel better down in Tallahassee, you know, just look at Marvin Jones Jr. as your Keon Coleman. Say that that's your Keon Coleman acquisition. He just happened to have an extra camp. Instead, Keon obviously joined us in summer workouts, and fall camp was his first work officially in 11-on-11 settings. But Marvin Jones Jr. had an excellent spring. And when he came to town, he was one of three defensive ends. We were hoping one of those three would emerge as a reliable starter opposite Patrick Payton. Sione Lolohea was the leader in the clubhouse because he had proven the most at the Power 5 level, being second team All Pac-12 last year. But Marvin Jones Jr. is, according to the coaching staff, the guy with the quickest, most rapid ascent in the history of them using the transfer portal. And basically, Mike Norvell's entire tenure here has been about using the transfer portal to bring in edge rushers. And he's saying that Marvin Jones Jr. was the most impressive of anybody he brought in terms of where he was when he arrived and where he got to by the end of spring camp. So maybe that's our stud addition. And if we had acquired Marvin Jones Jr. out of the portal today, it would feel different. But just remember, they banked a lot of good stuff here on the front end of the process.
Yeah, I don't view it in a negative light. I don't view the situation that they're in as having swung and missed, having gone after somebody and lost, because I know some of the behind the scenes stuff that's going on this particular cycle. And I know players that we've had no interest in that some of the fans would like us to have interest in. And I know the reasons that we've had no interest in some of those guys. So that never bothered me or concerned me. I knew we weren't going to go after certain guys that are available in this portal for a variety of reasons. And I also, I like, and this is, I'm now looking at the chat. So it means our guys are better than the offensive tackle or the third stringer from Utah or whatever. So to further illustrate that, Hawaii, I think that this will be a little bit more of the norm. I'm not saying we're not going to continue to take great advantage of the portal. It's in this staff's DNA right now to be able to evaluate players from other programs and how they'll fit here and what we need and don't need. They've done a good job. They've earned that benefit of the doubt. So there's no reason, until they give us a reason, you know, there's no reason to think they don't know exactly what they're doing. But it is nonetheless far less interesting when we don't go to the portal and attack it. It has to be, as the program continues to develop, probably to some extent, lesser utilized than it was, obviously, during a massive turnaround. I mean, when you take over a program that is in sad-ass shape and is a sub-500 program, you know, this is all the news right now nationally, what Deion Sanders and his son Shador did in ridiculing players that have been asked to leave and transfer. I don't think it's a good look. I think it's stupid. I think long-term it hurts them. But I'm not getting into that because I thought that was going to be a train wreck from day one, and it's playing out exactly like we thought. But that said, I never had a problem with him coming in and wanting to revamp the roster. That team had won one game. I mean, they were awful. He had to revamp the roster. I think you can go about it a little bit more classy, but that's fine. If you need to get 45 new players, go get 45 new players. We weren't in that bad of shape, but we had to really get some kids out of here and some other kids in here and elevate the level of talent here, and they did it. But once you're good and once you're sustaining excellence, and you're much more attractive to recruits of the high-end variety, 5-star, 4-star kids, and suddenly you're a destination school where all the top-end kids, whether you get them or not, at least come to visit, you get your fair shot at giving them your pitch. You know, you have that opportunity. Then you're going to need to rely on the portal, obviously, far less. So we had to figure a cycle like this was coming. And the other part of it is, we know that there are players in this portal that even a couple that I know we would be interested in, that the asking price is way too high. And so you have to evaluate based on needs, based on which kids are willing to maybe come down here and take a look at what you have to offer. But then also, what do they want? And if Texas or Southern Cal or anybody decides that they want that kid more than you do and they're willing to pay top dollar for him, then you got to, you got to evaluate what you have and what you don't and how big of an impact it would really make. I think if you're going to bring in a huge dollar figure player, you have to know the stat of war, right? You have to know, what is he as a win above a replacement? Is he getting you a win? Are you paying it $700,000 for, you know, going to from 8 wins to 10 wins? Might be worth paying $700,000 to go from 8 wins to 10 wins. Are you going from 10 wins to 12 wins? Might be worth $1 million to do that. Now you're, you know, a national championship caliber team. So I get it. But if you're bringing in a guy that's just filling a need, per yesterday's conversation, Tom, then, you know, you got a third string rotational need, second string rotational need. I'm not paying $1 million for that.
Yeah, it's this happens in baseball, I think, is the best example. If those of you that are not MLB fans out there, let's just say that a 4 ERA is below average, to depending upon the year, maybe average in the American League. Now the NL is DH. But, you know, there are years where a guy who's got a 4.15 career ERA hits free agency and somehow he's commanding $20 to $25 million a year. And you're saying, how in the hell did we get to a place where a dude who can't even log a quality start, by this, the lenient standards of what a quality start is, like, this guy on average will not do that. And you're telling me that he's worth $20 to $25 million a year?
Right.
No thanks. I'll bring up a farmhand and I'll bring up that kid for a couple million on his entry level deal or whatever it's called, is his first contract. And let's see what he's got, because I'm not going to spend an extra 20 to get a result that I know is going to be below average. And I think what you're seeing here in college football's market, specifically this transfer portal window, is that the guys who are available are scant, and the guys that you could land are going to be like that 4.15 ERA pitcher who's going to, you're going to cost more or almost to the level that your starters are. And that's a real problem. The only way that that could ever work with a 3 or 4 guy, I'll use defensive tackle again as the example, because that's the position I think is the one of greatest need. The only way that could work, if he's going to be your 3 or your 4, is if he's got a couple of years left and you know that he's going to play at Florida State for multiple seasons. If it's a one and done deal, that's just bad policy, and you cannot set yourself back the next time the portal window opens. But once again, they brought in 14 transfers, 15 when you count the Harvard offensive lineman who's coming in this offseason. So it's not like they did nothing in the
previous window. Oh, they hit the hell out of the portal, right.
They did a ton in the previous window. And again, I'm not trying to damage control this thing. I think they need a defensive tackle to put them over the top. But if you're telling me that it would cause all kinds of issues with your numbers and the way your defensive linemen that are currently in your program look at the situation, then the juice ain't worth the squeeze. It's just that's the math that they have to do. And the coaching staff, we said in the beginning, has told you what they believe to be the barrier and has told you what they believe that they have in their room versus what's in the portal. If there was a Keon Coleman out there at any position, I bet we would be extremely aggressive to go get that player. They're telling you there isn't one.
Well, remember, too, I mean, we both think that Daryl Jackson and Josh Farmer are going to be playing on NFL Sundays.
Right.
And sooner rather than later. What player are you bringing in that's better, that's going to be better than Josh Farmer? That's going to be better than Daryl Jackson. And because if you're going to pay him more than you're paying Daryl Jackson and Josh Farmer, they better be better. I mean, that's because you're going to have a problem on your hand. Like right now, we're looking at Javier Suggs, right? That's the kid from Grand Valley State, I believe.
Yeah, correct.
All right. Well, you know, it's a Division II kid. I don't know if he'll make the transition from to Division II to Division I seamlessly and provide huge reps for you. I snaps for you. I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking at when I look at that film because it's against Division II foes. And I will tell you this: when I did watch it, now I understand he had an official visit to Wisconsin. He had an official visit. I'm trying to remember this, Arkansas, and he has an offer from Michigan. They play pretty good defense at Michigan. So that's a hell of a rap sheet. I mean, right off the bat, you're like, okay, some pretty big schools are taking a good look at this kid. So I guess there aren't enough teams that see something in him to suggest they think that he will. But what I didn't like, Tom, and maybe he comes here and he kicks ass, and if that's the case, fine. But what I didn't like when I watched that film is I couldn't find the film where he's kicking ass. Did you? Did you find the film? Because I looked around, couldn't find the film where he's whooping ass.
Okay, you're concerned about this particular choice.
I just don't see it. Maybe he's great. Maybe he's on the cusp of being great, and that's something to. There's something to that. Well, now I will tell you that our coaches have done a really good job finding guys that are on the brink of kicking ass, and then they get here and they get further developed and they get stronger. And he'd be a multi-year guy, as I understand it. So okay, that's a distinct possibility. If you're just telling me that, hey, go look at this guy. Do you think he comes in and crashes the party and is whooping ass right off the bat? Well, I don't see it even at the level he's at.
No, and that's the thing here is we're not trying to go get Braden Fisk, or else we'd be talking to kids from Michigan State or maybe some other places. And the thing is, if that resets your own internal market with Farmer and Jackson, it ain't worth it, man. It's just not. So if this kid comes in, because we all know that that's a damn headache, so I'm sure that that's a conversation they bluntly have behind the scenes. Was like, we know that's not for us, baby. We got these guys; they're bought in. They're going to be our front two. We don't like.
I will offend Tom. I will offend any player on the team if the player we're talking about bringing in is better than they are. I got no problem with that.
Yeah,
I really have no problem with that. I've said before, if Daniel Lyons gets pissed off, okay, tough luck, Daniel. When Malcolm Ray was upset, I was like, well, sorry, Malcolm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about it.
I hear you there, but the thing is, you don't want to bring in a dude who is 75% the player those starters are making 90% of the income or 95%
correct.
Of the income.
100%. Yeah, we're on the same page here. Yeah, you can't do it.
These are the real conversations that they have to have behind the scenes, though. Like, would he improve us? Yes. At that price? No. Less than no. Absolutely not. And so maybe the kid they're bringing in, they're thinking of as a five in the rotation. But if they have attrition for a given week, slides into the top four, and you feel better about the overall depth of the room. That would be the assumption I make as to why they're making this or visit happen and trying to court this particular player. There's an evaluation part of it that says he could turn into something else. There's also, all right, we feel okay about Grady Kelly. We feel pretty good about where Daniel Lyons is going, what KJ Sampson's going to be. Would be nice to have one more in that mix of the other guys, just in case, you know, Farmer's not available for a given week. This guy helps us feel a little bit better about how we're going to rotate our pieces. Like, that's got to be the math that they're doing.
Yeah, the conversation is centered around who and why and how many people and what it does for your team. and at what cost? That's all we're talking about. I mean, this isn't like an issue to bang the desk over. We're not flipping out. Like, I remember flipping out, not flipping out, but stating emphatically we needed to get Keon Coleman. And you remember that as well, because yeah, we had that conversation on the air. I was like, look, man, go watch him play. He will be, and I said it at the time, and I remember even arguing a little bit with some people about this. I'm like, the day he arrives, he's the best receiver we have. And it's really not that close. It's, and people were mad because they were trying to defend Johnny Wilson and saying, well, he's, you know, I mean, Johnny's probably going to be the best. But no, Keon Coleman was going to be the best receiver we had the day he walked onto campus. That was a must get, and it worked. And especially in some of the bigger moments, like beating Clemson on the road. That turned out all right because that dude made an NFL play. And that's why he got drafted where he did, because it certainly wasn't based on speed. It's that he makes contested catches. He can jump out of the gym. He's a very good athlete. He's just not a flyer, but he'll make congested, contested and congested catches. He'll do it.
Well, think about how much NFL teams must have liked the film for him to run a 4.6 and get drafted 33rd. That's absurd. I mean, that's crazy in an era that is enamored with 40 times. And that's what can... That can make you a first-round pick out of nowhere because some
teams... There have been kids that ran 4.2 at the combine who sucked at football, got drafted, and were out of the league in a year.
Right, mostly going to the Raiders. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But in this case, he runs, I mean, molasses level 40, and that's not...
By NFL wide receiver standard, sure, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
we famously had a guy who did just that and went on to have basically a Hall of Fame career.
Of course, I understand that part of it because that's football versus the combine. Like, I get that. But what I'm saying is
hands of all time.
He would grind you to dust, and he is now a Florida State Hall of Famer. That was an announcement today. So he's going to be a part of this new class, which is wonderful. But for an NFL team in this day and age to look at that metric and say, yeah, I'm still going to lead you off the second round as my pick coming to Buffalo. We have a dearth of talent because we just shipped Stephon Diggs out. So who's going to fill his role? You, Mr. Slowman, it's going to be you because we love how you go up and you go get the ball in contested situations. That's an ultimate compliment to a player like Keon.
Yeah, Yak Crew, that's who I was referring to, was Anquan Boldin. Tom and I were just talking about Anquan Boldin, who is one of my favorite players in FSU history, by the way. That's a conversation. Whenever we announce Hall of Famers, whenever that happens and player transitions from one level to another into his proper place into the Florida State Football Hall of Fame, we begin to ask the question, not best, but your favorite of players. I loved Anquan. Yeah. And you know what? I'll never forget that dime he threw in the Sugar Bowl. Mm. Just a dime. And it was dropped. It was dropped. Mm. And I'm still pissed about it. It was a beautiful throw.
There's nothing that you remember more than drops. That's for sure. And also, to Yak Crew, I'm the one who makes that argument, too, that, look, it's football. 4.6, whatever. There's football speed. There's something different. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Keon Coleman sucks. I don't believe that. I believe he's good. I'm just saying in this day and age where, you know, 40 times can make or break you.
Right.
The film and the interview must have been off the charts for the Bills to say, you're going to be the successor to Stephon Diggs. That's really cool.
It is cool, and something tells me he's going to have a good career, man. He's kind of built differently. He thinks differently. He's a weird cat. He really, 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 really believes in himself.
Just a little bit.
He really believes in himself. Yeah, I think he's going to have a good career. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, I talked to you last month about my experience fitting with PXG, specifically the Black Ops driver and the fitting I had up here in Westchester, New York. I'm back to tell you, I now have it in my possession. It was mailed to me, specified exactly as I needed it with my club fitting. I am super excited to see how this driver performs for me. For a random Joe off the street, I'm a guy who can hit the ball pretty far. My carry numbers are somewhere between 240 and 260, depending upon how often I'm playing the game, but I hit it low, and I drive that ball. I've had a Titleist TS3 driver for years, 8.5 degree. Sometimes it's up to 300, 305 if the conditions are right, but I live in that range of about 270 to 290, and I knew that when I went into their facility for a private fitting, which this was a VIP fitting, everybody. It's by yourself. You don't have people hovering over you, waiting to take over the bay. You've got a private appointment with a club fitter. Sometimes a secondary club fitter comes in. You see your numbers go up. I figured on this day that when I went in, my carry distance was going to be between 238 and 245 just because I'm in the cold. I haven't been playing through football season. I'm rusty. But within 25 minutes, my carry distance went up 251, 255, 258. It was really impressive to see. And now that I have the Black Ops driver in my possession, I can't wait to see what it does for me as the weather's warming up and I get to play a little bit more golf. So for you, you got to check out the PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron and use code Cameron at checkout. That's pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron.
Jeff Cameron Show rolling on here. Really quick, another reminder as we wrap up the Paying the Bills segment of the program, our friends at Tried and True Consulting, payments and business solutions company owned by, that's right, fellow Knowles. Knowles business owner, they're committed to reducing costs and increasing your bottom line and give back 10% of their net revenue to the battle's end. It's a good thing. Get the trifecta today. Scan that QR code if you're looking at it right now. Find out more. You can call alumni Don or Joe, 844-464-6653. Go Tried and True today. Yeah, on the heels of what we were just talking about, I think a lot about how frustrated people were regarding Anquan Boldin's 40 time. Can you remember back that far when that happened, when he ran that 40 and we all thought, oh no, this is going to be a tough go for him in the draft. And I don't know, man, the NFL, everybody's fast. And I thought he was quicker than that. And yeah. Turns out he was a really good football player, and that matters a lot.
He set records for at least receptions as a rookie, if not reception and yards.
Yeah, he went nuts. Yeah.
And that team, that's one of the better wide receiver duos to never win a Super Bowl in Larry Fitz and Anquan Boldin when they played against Pittsburgh in one of the best Super Bowls ever played.
That might be the greatest Super Bowl ever played. My goodness gracious.
Now, of course, Anquan would go on to win a Super Bowl with Baltimore, but those two together did not climb the mountain. Anquan was the guy that Joe Flacco went to on a fourth down that was the game on the line, and he just went up and he went and got the football.
Well, miscalculated jump helped, if you recall. He was on the other end of that one, too, wasn't he?
He might have been. That was the Denver game. Yeah.
Let's just throw it as high as we can and watch this guy who's a professional defensive back jump like he's a small child that had never played football before. That's not the worst jump and angle I've ever seen. That would belong to New Orleans against Minnesota.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Just dove into the sidelines.
There was and took out his teammate while doing it. There was one against USF where one of our safeties miscalculated, and the hottest game in Doak Campbell history. That was a toughie because he should have known the scout that BJ Daniels can throw the ball extreme distances, and I guess he didn't get the scout on that because he had a fair catch of an interception. I mean, he could have camped under it and waved for 4 seconds, but he took a poor angle and it ended up being a big play.
You're on to something, though. It's funny you brought up two things that are near and dear to my heart, and every fan does this. We all play the where were you when, do you remember, and we do it for the extremes. We do it for the Super Bowls, the national championships, the greatest rivalry moments, whatever it might be, and we do it for the worst losses. And those are the extremes, like the games where you were the angriest at the results of said contest. The games, the whatever games, we don't tend to have these moments, but if it's accompanied by godforsaken heat or bitter cold, and perhaps mix in a monsoon, that's about it, right? Those are the ones where you will. I was at the 10-0 game against North Carolina, and it rained so hard the entire game. It just never stopped raining at Doak. It just continued. And you kept saying, I kept saying to my buddy Eric, well, you know, this will die down. It'll be all right. And we were young and dumb. We had no ponchos. We were just getting rained on. And I was like, don't worry, buddy. By the second half, it'll stop raining. No. Driving rainstorm for the whole game. It's crazy. And after a while, you just have to laugh in those moments.
Yeah, Jacksonville State, the Ryan Perilou game that we nearly lost. That was one of the rainiest days Doak has ever had. We went in, we left, and then my buddy had extra tickets, so we went back in because it got really, really close. But we left when the game was in better standing because we're getting trench foot. I mean, it's just pooling water in the stands. It's up to your ankles. My feet are soaked. My shoes are ruined. So I'm like, all right, man, this ain't Miami. Let's go home and watch the rest of this game. And then it got so close that we said, well, we messed up. We jinxed this thing. We got to go back in. So we took some extra tickets and we soaked ourselves again to watch the end. I think Nigel Bradham had a big play down the stretch in that game. Yes,
perhaps.
But I just remember having trench foot. I mean, my feet were soaked for days. It was awful.
I can live with the extremes if it's like I don't. Well, heat bothers me more than cold. I've said that before at a game, not over prolonged periods of time. I've transformed into the old person that now is cold for no damn reason. I used to hate the heat with a passion, and I wanted it to be 66 in my house at all times. Like I had to tell roommates back in the day, I pay the electric bill. If it's cold, tough luck. Put on a sweatshirt because I'm paying the electric bill. So if I want to put it at 66, I'm putting it at 66. You'll just be cold. That's the way it's going to be. Like we had to have come to terms. We had to have an understanding that this is the way it was going to be. And now I'm not that guy. Now it's like set at 71, which is pretty lukewarm.
It's still very aggressive.
You think 71's aggressive?
Well, yeah, for much of the year, that means it's constantly going. It's a wonder that your two Barano Heating and Air Conditioning home units.
My friends at Barano Heating and Air Conditioning, I have two units. They were put in years ago. You were there when that happened. It was opening day for baseball, whatever many years ago. And those things have been humming ever since, buddy.
Let's see. Dylan G, opening day starter for the Mets, 2014, so 10 years ago. 10 years ago. I remember who was starting for us because, again, you remember the extremes. That is the worst opening day starter in Major League Baseball history was Dylan G.
Yeah, 71 is what I set it at. When we go to bed, I put it down to 69 every night. Every night. And you know, you sleep better. It's clinically proven, Tom. You got to sleep in the cold. That's what you got to do. It's awesome. But but in the morning, I put it back up to 71. We got a constant in my household between 69 and 71. And people do say that they think that's cold. I think it's kind of like, oh, I'm getting soft.
You might be, because I could tell you that up here, it's fascinating. So you're up here, and if the kitchen is over 70, I go, geez, what in the hell is going on in here? It's too warm. And then I go back down there, and I'll go to stay at Hotel Indigo or whatever. I'll be in a hotel room, and if it's 72, I think it's cold. That might be. It might be just based on outdoor temperatures that you derive how you feel.
Connor Whitaker, according to Tim in the chat, is going to be back this weekend. Perhaps, if not this weekend, when are these dudes coming back? I mean, we've been hearing it for if that's accurate, and Link is referencing that, then good news. I mean, again, as we talked about on the show yesterday, you don't need them back to play, you know, you don't need them to be frontline starters throwing seven innings. Can you give me two guys that are going to be able to eat three innings? Maybe four innings? And yes, then you can push other people back?
So I'm reading Aslan's synopsis because he was recording the Link Jarrett Weekly press conference.
Yeah.
And so a couple of things. Ben Barrett's appearance last week was shortened because of the velocity They didn't like how low the velocity was, so they got him out of there immediately. And they put him in their pitching lab this week, and they said it looks better. So that's a good sign for Ben Barrett moving forward. And then Leiter and Whitaker are ramping up, but Whitaker's ahead, which I find interesting, because a couple weeks ago it sounded like Whitaker was, I don't know if I'm going to see him, and Leiter was the one, oh, he'll be back.
Well,
now, I think both will, but it's interesting that Connor Whitaker has gone from we're not so sure to ahead of Cam Leiter. That's a fascinating development.
I got to be careful. I know a reason for that, but it's, you know, look, let's hope we get them both back. That's what I'll put it at. Let's hope we get them both back.
Jesus, what's going on there?
Yeah, it just I'm not at liberty to discuss that, man, and I don't want to create an issue. We'll just hopefully get them both back. Good for Whitaker. I'm happy that he's. It sounds like he's going to be back, so that's good news.
Okay. Well, I don't know what the answer is here, but it sounds like we're not going to see him again. That's what it sounds like.
That's not what I'm saying. I mean, that's a distinct possibility, but I'm not. No, don't. I just can't get into it. It's the things that you got to understand. I will say this about. Can I give you some generalization here, so that way you know.
Speak generally, so we can derive specifics from the situation, please.
Perhaps. Look, man, pitchers are like wide receivers, all right? And in addition to that, pitchers have families and agents and things of that ilk, and you know how it goes. You know how it goes. So, okay. Look, and I will say this. Any player, I don't care if you're a first baseman, a catcher, a right fielder, or a starting pitcher, if you are most assuredly ticketed for Major League Baseball and the millions that come with, you just got to be careful. You know, you got to be careful when you're nursing injuries and how quickly you come back and all those things. So, you know,
those are excellent generalizations. Thank you very much for those generalizations. I feel like there'll be some day when I can apply those generalizations to a scenario and derive context. Thank you.
At some point you might be able to. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you, you podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom, a salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
Man, you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you can get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Speaking of Real Talk 93.3, should be noted that Fasick and Brooks Law Firm is looking for one tough mother to win a grand prize of 24 gift cards to local restaurants for Mother's Day 2024. Here we go. Let's get in on this, guys. Total value is over $500. If you know a tough mother, they want to hear from you. It can be your mom, your sister, cousin, friend, you name it, anyone you know who's a tough mom. Tell us their story. Go to realtalk93.com. Click the link to submit your nominee, and the toughest mom will get $500 plus to spend around town at local restaurants. That doesn't suck. That's a good thing. Yeah, probably lots of people will enter that contest. I think we all know a tough mom or two, right? Gotta be tough to be a mom.
100%. Yeah, we'll see if it comes down to some people that maybe we can announce on the air. You like that little animation we're putting on the screen?
Where did you get that? So out of nowhere.
So since you're doing the read again, I decided to just Google Tough Mother, and that's what came up. I'm like, let me download that. So I'm going to put that up on the screen next time you do the read next hour.
I like it. That makes me smile, by the way. She's like Amish.
Yeah, with the spoon. It's the. Did you ever get the spoon?
Oh, I told this story on the air ages ago. I'll bring it back to life right now since you asked. My mom smacked the bejesus out of me and broke the spoon. She hit me so hard one time. Now, here's what's funny about that. You wouldn't think my dainty mother, who weighs 100 pounds soaking wet, would do that. I deserved it. It's the story where I broke the glass and she knew I was going to, and I had a virgin daiquiri in the glass. It's bright red. It was strawberry. And we had just bought a new couch. And my brother, I said to my brother, I don't know why. And I was like a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid. And I'm sitting there. And, you know, this brother that I'm talking about, Bobby, is 4 years older than me. And we would always battle feats of strength and speed and everything else. We would do what brothers do, right? And at 16, you couldn't tell me anything. I was lifting weights every day. I played a bunch of sports. And we were always trying to see who was the better athlete. And I said to him when she gave me this glass, I said, can I have a virgin daiquiri? She was making daiquiris. She says, yeah, they're, you know, here you go. So I got one. I loved it, right? And per our Slurpee story yesterday. And I said to him, I go, you know, because it's a thick glass. I said, I bet you I could break this glass with my hands. And he goes, no, you couldn't. You're not strong enough to do that. And I said, oh, yeah, I could absolutely. If I squeezed this glass, and it was thick. I go, if I squeezed this glass, I could break it. And he suckered me in. He was like, no chance. No chance. Like, he didn't just say I couldn't do it. He went over the top and said, zero chance. You don't realize how thick that is. And I said, you don't really realize how strong I am. I could break this. And then he goes, and he just kept just dismissing me. My mom overhears the conversation. And she says something I can't repeat, which is, I don't give a blank if you can or can't. Don't do it. Because you're going to spill that daiquiri all over the brand new couch, which was tan, by the way. And she's like, it'll have a permanent stain. And Bob, that's my stepdad, is going to freak out. And I go, okay, whatever. She goes, I'm kidding you. And she had the spoon. She goes, if you break this glass, I'm going to beat you with this spoon. And so I like that it was very specific. And then anyhow, Bobby kept whispering under his breath that I couldn't break it. And at some point I started squeezing the glass. And it shattered everywhere. And daiquiri all over my lap, the couch, the carpet. My mother was so pissed. The look on her face, I'd never seen it before, this kind of anger. She just looked up and she goes, you did not just do that. And I was like, I'm just busy looking at what the mess is that I've created. She comes sprinting around the corner with the spoon and just starts wailing. And I'm laughing at her. And she's like, damn it. And she hits me on the thigh. It kind of stung, but I was still laughing. And anyhow, the spoon broke. And then I laughed more at her, and that pissed her off even more. I'm surprised she didn't stab me with the broken end. And I just ended up kind of getting up. It's like, I'll clean it up. She's like, this is not doing any good. You're going to tell Bob when he gets home what kind of dumbass you are for breaking the glass. And my brother was laughing, and he went upstairs.
That's the right time. Just go ahead, close your door, and declare victory in your brain. And laugh at what just happened. I've done that a time or two with siblings. My dad's mom, my Grammy, she was 5'2", 85, 90 pounds. I mean, just a slight woman, had 11 children. Unbelievable. Every time the War Department came looking for my pop-up, they were having another kid, so he didn't have to go. She had a stick. And if anybody, they shared beds, 11 kids, so they shared beds. If anybody got out of line talking
the
too much,
was coming out, yeah.
The stick came out, and they got it across the shins, all of them. So you all go down. So this little woman, it's like a troll in the woods, comes out with a stick and whips you right there in the shins.
Dave, to answer your question, was my brother surprised or also laughing? Yeah, well, he laughed hysterically the second it happened. He thought it was awesome. And I think he knew I could break it, and he wanted to see me do it so that I would get hit by the spoon. He wanted to see my mom's reaction. I bet he secretly wanted me to cut myself, too.
Did you?
No, I didn't cut myself. That was the surprise of the whole thing. After she got done beating me with that spoon and then trying to clean up that daiquiri mess, she goes, did you cut yourself? The mom came out finally.
Yeah.
She said, did you cut yourself? No. Why would you do that? I just don't understand. Why would you do that? She went storming off.
Too bad she couldn't have been standing next to Cristobal in the Georgia Tech game. If you run this football, I will beat your ass with this
Okay,
spoon.
So true story, in credit to my friend, Pat Burnham. He works for a different site, but anyhow, Pat's dad, obviously, Wally Burnham, famously a coach. I asked him because he was on the headsets at USF, and I've been on the headsets here for that spring game, but it's not the same as a regular game. Pretty close, but I wondered on game day how many people, because I don't know this, are allowed to talk. And I said, how many people are, he goes, well, everybody has a headset on, but most people do not talk. You have to be the assistant head coach, the OC, or the DC. That's about it. Like that's it. And usually one of those is the assistant head coach. So, you know what I mean? It's like maybe three people that can talk. The head coach, he can ask a question. You spoke when you're spoken to, or if you see something of vital importance. And so I said, the reason I'm asking you is I'm still absolutely dumbfounded that that could ever have happened. I know he's the head coach, but when Cristobal told them to run the ball, and whether he was trying to instill some form of toughness and you play to the final whistle nonsense, or he was trying to get the kid 100 yards rushing, I don't care the reason. I don't care. When the play is called, when the OC calls that play, or if he called it, I don't know who called it, but remember there was a conversation, you see them, he says he's going to run the ball.
Yeah, there's the three coaches, it looked like, if I recall correctly, and they're in like triangulation and they're discussing things. Yeah.
So, honest, yeah, they're talking about it, and I remember watching that like it was slow motion, laughing my ass off when the fumble happened. I didn't think he was going to fumble, but I was already laughing at the television, like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. I surely didn't suspect that he would fumble. By the way, he was down. They got screwed on the play. I just want you to know. He was down. But doesn't matter. If you take a knee, none of this happens. It doesn't matter. You can't get screwed on the play if you take a knee. But I wondered how, I don't care if I'm the get back guy. If I'm in charge with telling the players to get back, I don't care if I'm the get back guy, the equipment manager. If I've got access to the mic, I'm yelling. I'm stop. Hey, dumbasses, the game is over.
Yeah.
What are we doing out here? Is he about to break some single season record I'm unaware of? Is this kid on the precipice of being the all-time leading rusher at Miami or something? Did I miss the memo? Why are we running this bum to get 100? Who cares? We've won the game. Take a knee.
Yeah.
But he didn't, and we're all better off for it.
You know what I would have done to help those kids? I would have sprinted onto the field during the play so the play had to be blown dead. I'd tackle my own guy. But no, this will not stay. I get fired for it. You run out onto the field. The refs got to blow it dead. They throw you out of the game. They'd assess a 10-yard penalty. And you know what? The math changes. Now you have to take a knee. Most certainly.
Well, you'd win the effing game is what you do. And I'm telling you, like, I would rather get forgiveness later on. Like, he could be as mad as he wants to be. He could turn to me and say, you know, you usurped your position. You made me look like a fool. And, you know, he can tell you in the moment, I'm going to fire you, whatever. He can say whatever he wants in that moment. After that game, Tom, I would have calmly let things settle down. I would have said, you know, we won the game. I was trying to make sure we won the game. What are you doing? You didn't have to run the, I just can't believe that it didn't happen. That somebody didn't go, yo, what are we doing here?
Terry Collins would have. You got to give us a win. Stand down, Mario. You got to give us a win. And he'd stand on the field while doing it, just spit right in his face. And there you go. That gets you the win. Chuck your own headset. Make a scene. You should make a scene.
AK Dogs is right. That's exactly. Yes. They call the play and the O-line coach did question them. But then they chose to do it anyhow. Like, he does turn and say something to him. The O-line coach does. And I remember thinking he looks like he's seen a ghost. Go back and watch the play. Watch the sidelines on that play. It's amazing. The coach who turns to him looks like he's scared that what's about to happen and did happen is going to happen. That's like he has that look on his face like, man, that's the worst feeling in the world. You have to do it in parenting too, by the way. Like when you know your kid's going to make a terrible mistake and you need him to learn from the mistake and you can't intervene or you shouldn't intervene. You're like, I'm going to let him make this mistake. I know what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen because I did the same damn dumb stuff. And then this is, yep. And then you're like, okay, well.
Like close their hand on a daiquiri glass. Yeah. So I like the fact that this discussion has unearthed somebody who is hate watching our program. We've got a member of the U who's just saying, well, you got DJU. Well, yeah, you also had two knees and you didn't use one of them. So you in the end, use both of them.
Win some games, dude. Win some games. Come on, brother. Win some games. I do think they'll win some games this year. You and I have talked about that. We've talked about that game right there will be, I mean, if they don't, hey, I will say this. It'll be the last we talk about this, but this is about the bigger picture of the ACC. Look, if they don't make it to the ACC championship game this year with that schedule and the team they've put together, I don't know when they're going to.
Yeah,
I mean that's a good football team. They're a good football. If you look on paper, that's a good football team.
No, this is their best chance in the 20-plus years of being in the ACC of winning an ACC football championship for the first time. This is their best chance. They've never had a better chance to win the conference for the first time in the history of them being a member of the ACC.
They've never won the conference this week. The conference is about to dissolve.
Right, right.
It's not going to exist anymore. You'd hate for the ACC's history to come to a close. The conference no more. And never to have won it. And only to have played for the championship one time and got blown out.
They're hoping this is their Indiana Jones moment. You know, the wall's coming down, their hat's on the other side, and that's the championship. Can they reach underneath the wall that is closing, grab the hat just in the nick of time and pull it?
Best chance right here. Because then there's at least some relevance. They haven't been relevant in 20 years plus. Perfect. So there would be a measure of relevance in that moment. Not like high prestige or anything like that, but you wouldn't have that hanging over your head as it has for the many years you've been in this conference without a single title.
It's the irony of being in the All-Canes Conference. You know, that's the whole thing. I remember that as well as you do, and here we are. It's almost dead. We've almost buried it. We're almost on the other side. Can they do it? Or will they lose three games? What's more likely? There's the question with 40 seconds to go. What's more likely? They win the ACC or they lose three games?
By the way, Eric McClain is scheduled to come on the Jeff Cameron Show here real soon. You know him, right? Clemson offensive lineman. Does a good job covering the ACC. He reached out to me the other day. So we're gonna set something up, talk some off-season football together, and maybe do big picture, get his thoughts on Clemson. Obviously, we'll address Florida State. Kind of go back and forth with it. Should be a good time. So, that will probably be sometime next week. We're also looking tomorrow to have Micah Posey on the program. So that'll be good, too, before the big NC State series. Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with.
Attention, Florida. Are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Leica Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Leica Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisenLegalLawFirm.com. Heisen Legal Law Firm, your advocate in times of need.